Hey guys, welcome back to the second season of First Drafts. I'm Kyla G.
And I'm Millie P.
Okay, so for a little refresher, since it's been a while, First Drafts is a podcast dedicated to all the different topics we have and we'll talk about. Basically things that Millie and I are both passionate about, things that we would like to know more of, new seasons in our lives, how we are navigating the world around us, and of course, some crazy loco banter. To address the elephant in the room, it's been quite some time. But we're back and we have some really fun ideas and some really cool guests planned out for the next season or for this season. Sorry.
Yeah. So how have you been?
I'm doing good. It's a little stressful. It's the holidays, but honestly, having fun, a little stressed,
living life.
We're doing good.
That's good.
How are you?
I'm good. Just so you guys know, we're recording this via Zoom because Kai is in San Antonio and I'm in Chicago. But yeah, I've been doing great for the most part. It's like a roller coaster ride. Every week is different.
Post-grad is a roller coaster. Yeah.
Yeah. Which that is basically what we're going to be talking about today. Just kind of what life's been like after graduation and what the work life has been for us, our professional lives.
Yes. And if you didn't listen to the first season, that we ended off the last episode to the first season with Millie packing up and leaving to Chicago. So now she's in Chicago and we're doing everything remote, but it's fun. I don't know if you want to like give a recap on like moving to Chicago just really quick and your new job. That's not really new anymore.
It's not new anymore. But yeah, so the last episode of the first season, it was literally like a couple of days, maybe a week before I was leaving. So young and so naive. But yeah, I moved here mid-May. Things have been really, really great. I love the city. It's definitely much different than San Antonio, obviously. Faster pace. Everything's more condensed. We have multi-level grocery stores, so that's pretty crazy.
I didn't even think about.
No, it's crazy. I remember walking into Target and I was like, oh, it's like three stories.
Oh yeah, we went to that one. Like,
yeah. So yeah, Kai and a couple of other friends came up to visit for like a couple days, right?
Yes. And I'm planning up a trip up my sleeve. I have a trip to Chicago coming up.
I'm waiting for it.
I know. I really want to go visit Millie, crash at her place.
Yeah. Cause you guys came literally like a couple days after I had moved in. So apartment was still like empty, boxes everywhere. I don't even think we had a couch at the time. Yeah. So it was, it was crazy, but
it was fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I'm glad you guys had fun too. But a week after moving in, I was so lucky. I landed a job as a full-time designer at an interior design firm. So yeah, we specialize in like luxury residential spaces for the most part, some like high-end boutiques. So it's been crazy. I've learned so much. Like, I feel like what we do in school does not do a good job of preparing you for the professional realm of the universe at all. I still feel like a deer in the headlights a lot of the time. And I'm finally like just now starting to get in the hang of things and like developing my own workflow. But yeah, it was rowdy for the first couple of months. Even adjusting to the city life, like, I mean, I was lucky enough to have my parents drive up my car, but it's like learning to ride the train and the bus and walking. And then now it's like 10 degrees outside and snowing. So like, obviously lots of changes. But yeah, all in all, it's been so much fun though. Like, I feel like I was so like lucky to be able to experience this right after college.
I agree. I tend to forget that like over there, driving is not like the primary mode of transportation, I guess.
I feel like it's pretty even. Really? Yeah. I feel like maybe like a third drive cars, a third bike or are on foot, and then a third are train or like bus public transportation. Because there are just some places where the train doesn't take you. So it's because there's a CTA and then there's the Metra. So like Metra is, you know, coming out from the residential like suburbs, and then CTA is specifically like within the city. So, you know, like certain train lines can only get you so far.
No, I think I'm just like a walking type of girl. I remember we went to Italy for study abroad. We're like, oh, dinner is 2 hours walking away. Like we're just going to walk.
Oh my gosh. Like I couldn't.
But these hips now, they're not cut out for that. No. But okay, anyway, quick recap.
Enough about me. Yeah. Me. It's your turn.
Yeah, enough about you, now me. Okay. So, I was working at a coffee shop the last semester of my senior year of college. When I graduated, I struggled finding a job at a firm. So I got promoted to a manager position. So I kind of managed the coffee shop on Sundays. I'm an assistant manager, so it's like kind of chill. Well, it is chill. And then I was taking a lot of the pictures for the Instagram as like a little side hustle. But now I still work at the coffee shop, but I also work at a firm downtown. So the days are long, but we're grateful.
We are grateful. In this economy.
Yeah. The days start at 4:30 a.m. and they end at 5:30.
You're a queen. So. You're a hustler.
Yeah, but it's fun. I'm grateful for the experience and whatnot, but I'm still hoping for like that position that I want. You know?
I think our 20s are just meant for figuring things out for sure. So
yeah, for sure. Someone came up to me the other day and she was like, oh, how old are you? And I told her and she was like, oh, you're so young. You can like change your whole career right now if you wanted to. Like you have so much time.
And this is the time to
do it. The way I think of it, yeah. The way I think of it is like I feel like I don't have time though. I'm like, I'm gonna be 25 next year. So I'm like, I don't have time, you know? Mm-hmm. But I guess I do. I need to think of it more optimistically.
Well, I mean, easing into our topic of discussion, I feel like probably the reason why people are in their 20s are having this crazy, I mean, granted, like when you're 25, that's like your quarter life crisis, but I feel like
I didn't even realize
crises,
that.
They're all happening earlier because of social media. And that's all I'm going to say.
That's a big contributor to like stress and stuff because, well, let's jump into the topic first.
Exactly. I was leading up to.
Yeah. Millie was trying to like flow into it.
I'm just
like,
but you're hitting the nail.
So do you want to go into it? This is actually Millie's idea. Not that, how do I explain
basically,
this?
Basically, I just felt like it was important to start off the new season talking about things that we could both resonate with. And at the time when I thought of this like topic of discussion, I was dealing a lot with imposter syndrome, which we've talked about in our past episodes, but I feel like the imposter syndrome hits different now that we are considered professionals and we have degrees, and it's no longer that like student identity that we're associating ourselves with. So we are going to be talking about the struggles of striving to be exceptional. With that being said, though, I feel like everybody has their own internal definition of exceptionalism. So I'm going to let Kyla explain what her... Actually, I'm going to read you guys the Google definition of exceptionalism. And then Kyla's going to tell us what her definition is. And then I'm going to say what my definition is. Long definition, short, exceptionalism is just described as the condition of being different from the norm. So that's the Google definition, Merriam-Webster definition.
I don't know why I feel like that is not the correct definition when I think of that
it's
word.
It's subjective because I think that aligns close to what mine is, but you go.
Yeah. So, okay. Dating back to the early 2000s. So if nobody else here knows, I'm a single child and
both of us are.
Oh yeah, we both are. I think we talked about this before. But I'm a single child and I have four parents because my parents are divorced and both remarried, and I don't have any step siblings, half siblings, nothing. So it's literally just me, and all eyes were always on me, which can be nice. But in this topic, like I kind of feel when I was growing up that I had this super intense pressure to that I put on myself to make all of them proud. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard because all of them are also different. So I felt like I needed to do this to please my dad and do this to please my mom and do this to please like my step parents and stuff like that. And so I feel like I placed a lot of unrealistic expectations on myself. And I don't know, it's developed more as an adult. And I just feel like when I fail over and over and over again. I don't know. It's just like, if this is wrong, then all of these things in my or all these areas of my life are wrong and I'm doing everything wrong. And it's like, it's not really that big mm-hmm. of a deal. What I want to look at exceptional or being exceptional is that just following your own path. Obviously, this is so cliche of me to say, but like following your own path, like doing your own thing. What is it? Dancing to the beat of your own drum.
Yeah. That's
but everybody else on social media, you can see everyone else excelling in what they're doing. And so you feel like I need to be perfect in every single way.
Right.
But just do you and you will eventually find your own groove and excel in your own way, which is different from everyone else around.
Yeah. Do you feel like because you had basically four different parents that you had to have multiple identities too?
I feel that way because honestly, I act different to all of them, mm-hmm. which I don't want to make it seem like I'm like four-faced, right. you know, but it's because I have a different relationship with every single one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not as close to some as I am to others. Doesn't mean I love them any less, but you know,
yeah, totally.
It's different. With your parents. I mean, with your friends, you get to choose your friends. With your family, you right. don't. So some sides are like sides that have developed with my relationship with my dad and then with my mom, you know, and vice versa, whatever.
Yeah. I'm just curious because like having four different parents and then having feeling like you have four different identities, like, was it more difficult for you to find like the root of who you were as a person growing up?
Yes, I think especially after graduating college, I was kind of like, I don't even know what the heck I like and what I don't like. And I was having this conversation with my dad. I was like, honestly, I don't even know what makes me happy. And that kind of stressed me out mm-hmm. because here I am with this degree. I wasn't obsessed with my degree that I mm-hmm. chose, but now I have it. And I don't even know, like at that point when I graduated, I don't even know how long ago, what yeah. May. I honestly didn't even know, like if I were to do something right now that would make me happy, I would do it, but I just didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, the whole not even 4 years, like your whole life, you've been identified as a student and kind of like, I guess that's been like your primary thing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I said it in a previous episode, like whenever I would introduce myself, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm a student. Yeah. I go to blah, blah, university. That's a really good thing. But now it's like, oh, I'm Kyla. I don't really know anything yeah. else to say, you know?
Yeah. I saw Margot Lee talking on the I Love You So Much podcast. And she was speaking pretty much within like the same topic where she was saying like, after graduation, you don't have that student identity anymore. And it makes you completely rethink who and what you are. And like everything that you said about not even knowing like what my true interests were, I felt the exact same way. So it's nice to know that I wasn't the only one, you know?
Yeah, it's super hard. And you feel like all these intense feelings because you feel so alone. You're not in your regular routine that you had for so long.
Yeah, it's like you see the same people for 4 years. I mean, at least in our case. And then one day, I mean, it was cut off early because of the pandemic, but one day, you know, you stop seeing them completely.
Yeah, they're all gone. And like, not to be like type of like kind of selfish, but like my identity was partly in them too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think, yeah.
Because we were all like one group in college and then graduating and not seeing anyone was kind of hard, even as an introvert, yeah. You know?
I think what makes it even crazier to me is like not being able to speak to these people in person and then seeing them be active on social media. So there's like, oh, I had no idea they were here. I had no idea that they were doing this or that. Because we're so used to being like in close proximity to each other all the time. And then all of a sudden we didn't have that anymore. So yeah, for me, exceptionalism is kind of more so like the Google definition, where feeling the need to just be, I guess, not abnormal or like quirky or weird, but more so just being absolutely amazing at everything. So it's like going into the interior design job, like being some sort of world-renowned designer, which becoming world-renowned is kind of like superficial, and it's kind of like very unrealistic for the average person. Average, I mean, I'm using all these terms loosely, like for lack of a better term, right? But you know, like the probability of you becoming like a world-renowned individual is in actuality like so low.
Slim.
Yeah. And so for me, I think I'm using like the interior design position as a prime example because it like relates to me most right now. But I mean, even like art or I don't know, design, fashion, all these things. And I don't know if it's like an only child thing to like do this. I don't know.
This is an only child podcast. If you're not an only child, hop
off. We should have named the podcast Only Child Podcast. But yeah. Oh my gosh. I think, you know, the idea of exceptionalism is like amplified through social media because, you know, you see, especially after the pandemic, like the pandemic really just changed the rest of our lives forever. But, you know, people are more active on social media, and there are ways for people to create content without even having to like leave their rooms or their homes or doing anything, you know, outworldly, outrageous, you know? So it's just,
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's so intense. I didn't even think about that, but like pretty much all the people that got super famous on TikTok were doing everything in their rooms.
The simplest things. And for a while I was like, this is when I was like 18 or something, but I was like, how are all of these young people getting so famous and being like so successful so early on in their lives? And then I was putting pressure on myself to be something great before I turned 21, and then 21 passed and I was like, oh shit, like my time, I'm running out of time. So it was just a lot. And I mean, I think I'm a little bit more grounded now, but obviously it's still something that I'm working on internally to resolve. Like, you don't have to be amazing at everything. And I know I'm just like word vomiting right now, but I feel like that also leads into like certain hobbies that people get into related to exceptionalism. Like, the hobbies that we do, like, are they truly something that we enjoy, or do we just enjoy being good at them? Because you know how some people will avoid certain hobbies and things because they know they're not good at it. And then other people will be like, oh, let's do this, let's do that, because they know that they're good at it.
Ugh, I'm so guilty at that. But honestly, I feel like I'm mediocre at everything. So, which I don't think is bad. I don't think it's bad.
No, that's the thing. I'm like, we should be doing things that we enjoy because we genuinely enjoy them.
Prime example, when I was in high school, I was in volleyball. I liked volleyball, but I wasn't good at it. So I was benched my whole high school career. Mm-hmm. But it was still really fun. I would have done it again, but honestly, I don't think I would have made the team again.
That's okay.
But it was fun. Like, I would still play volleyball to this day, and I really like it.
That's also something that I've come to realize, because I've noticed it within some of my friends where they're like, oh no, like I'm so bad at it. Like I can't do that. Like, oh, that doesn't seem fun to me at all. And then in scenarios where they are going to be doing something that they know they're crazy good at, like board games. Yeah. Like board games, or I don't know, pool or something like that. They light up and they're like, oh yeah, cool. Like, who wants to play with me? Let's go have some fun. Like, I love blah, 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 doing this, doing that. So it's interesting for sure. And I only recently thought about that, but that's my truth.
Speak your truth, Millie.
Speak my truth.
But it's so funny. I was like thinking right now, our definitions are like so different. And I don't even think mine was a definition, pretty much. It's just like where my urge to be exceptional comes mm-hmm. from, or like where it stems mm-hmm. from. But going back to the social media thing, it's so hard to like encompass everything that you feel. It's so weird too, because whenever I'm scrolling, I don't think about all these things that are like subconsciously I'm exactly. thinking about, because then later, I don't know. It's just, I don't even know what I'm saying, but all the people that have more than 24 hours in their day to work out, eat healthy, go to their dream job, be super successful. Maybe they're an entrepreneur, like the whole thing. And it's like, how do you have that much time in your day to accomplish all of that? Mm-hmm. And then they're super successful at everything, you know? So I think that's where I struggle the most, because I also want to be good at everything and be a good cook, and I want to work out, and I want to be really good at everything that I do in my jobs and everything, but it's just unrealistic sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, as cliche as it sounds, social media is just so deceptive, but obviously when it's there and you're staring at it, it's hard to remind yourself that it's not what it seems like. And I also think with social media, it's kind of hyped up like instant gratification, where you realize that something's not working out in your favor and then you give up. That can go for like working out and not seeing results. That could be starting a painting and it not turning out the way you want it to be, or you're trying out sculpting for the first time and it looks like shit. And then you decide that you want to give up and that it's not for you, and yada, 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 yada. So I think it's really dangerous, honestly. And I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for future generations. The thing is, I did not start comparing myself to anybody. I was actually a very confident, like, sixth grader. It was crazy. And then I downloaded Instagram and created an account in the seventh grade. I mean, technically, weren't you supposed to be like minimum 18 to have like Facebook, yeah. Instagram, but nobody yeah. paid attention. Nobody cared. Nobody.
Yeah. You know. But honestly, for being real, I think the real culprit is Tumblr.
Oh, I had Tumblr too, actually.
Because Tumblr was the like original platform for me. Like that was like my only form of social media before.
Yeah. Instagram. Or like We Heart It.
Oh, stop. We Heart It. Stop. No, but like all of the people on there, because you would get like, I don't know, routine people that would yeah. show up, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they, yep. I want to be like them. I want to have like this, like swooped bangs.
Yeah, literally everything.
Yeah.
But my point is like, I didn't start comparing myself until I started installing all of these social media apps. So I think it's really dangerous. So for any younger viewers out there, just do yourself a favor and limit the amount of social media that you take every single day.
Yeah, no. And it seems completely harmless in while you're doing it, because you're like, oh, I'm just, you know, on my off time scrolling, reading people's stories, watching people, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But like I said earlier, it's kind of that like subconscious thing. Like you're taking in all of this information at once. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like lingering in your mind long after, to where you're comparing yourself to people, and not to mention all of the editing apps that even I've fallen guilty to using. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I have done the same like here and there. Yeah. Just to be fully transparent. But I also feel like, because social media has become such a big part of our lives, it's kind of taken away the responsibility, or at least the feeling of responsibility for our own lives, because we're so absorbed into other people's lives. So I've found myself in a lot of conversations where people around me are just talking about like some famous celebrity or some famous designer, yada, 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 whatever, you know? And then it's just crazy to me, because I feel like a lot of conversations now are like solely based off of like persons of interest. So like, oh, you like the Kardashians? Like all of our future conversations will like involve the Kardashians in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gives us an excuse to look away from our own lives, which I guess is like the point of social media, is to escape reality for a little bit. But
I recommend everyone to pick up reading.
Period.
But anyway, you made a really good point. So going back to our notes, you wrote that there's a certain freedom that comes with accepting the fact that your work is ordinary. And so I think a big takeaway from like what we're talking about today, and this applies to us also, that, you know, you're not going to be great at everything. That's just the truth.
Just the fact of the matter. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to be great at everything. And I'm speaking to myself on this too, but just learn your strengths, like play those strengths, but also play the things that you're not good at, you know?
Yeah. I think it's totally important to step out of your comfort zone and challenge yourself.
Yeah. And this, again, just, I'm just throwing out a bunch of cliches here, but there's nobody else in the world that's like you. And so that kind of like brings, let that bring power to you, you know, like you have something to offer that nobody else does. And that is your power, was what I'm trying to say.
Period. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But honestly, sometimes I feel like I'm so critical about myself. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And my body language is weird. And why did I laugh at that person when she said that? And why did I do this? And stuff like that. But honestly, like, just be a good person and go about your life. And life is not supposed to be this stressful. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I've spent all this time being so critical and being stressed and worried all the time. I'm just like, I feel like I haven't even enjoyed anything, you know?
I can honestly say the same. Like, for the past couple of years, it's been a blur.
Yeah. And then that goes back to like doing things that you might not be good at, but still have fun, because I feel like not being good at something takes the joy away from it, but that doesn't have to be the mindset, you know? And then your like mindset is so powerful, and your mind is, you know, has the power to shift everything, you know?
Yeah. It's all about like personal perspective.
Yeah. And it's like, if you speak it into existence, more than likely that's going to be the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think anyway.
I mean, yeah, going back to what you were saying there, it sounds really sad initially, but the more that you think about it, I feel like it's so liberating to just say, just, you know, drop all the weight off of your shoulders of trying to be this like out, like otherworldly person, and just accepting like I'm human. And
yeah,
you know, like I fuck shit up at work, or I said something I wasn't supposed to say. Like, that's just part of being a human. And I think, you know, once we confidently make mistakes, which, I mean, granted, that's easier said than done, because I feel like, I don't want to speak for you, but I think both you and I understand that we both kind of tend to catastrophize things.
No, that's what I was saying. Like, I'm 0 to 100 in 1 second. That's why I was saying, yeah. I was like, it's a domino effect in my life to where,
yeah,
if this happens, my whole life is ruined.
Yeah.
And basically. Yeah, I can never look up from that. But yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, with catastrophizing things, you make a mistake and you think, oh my gosh, I'm going to get fired. Or, oh my gosh, like, I'm such a horrible person. When realistically, it's just a mistake. Granted, if it's anything illegal or anything inhumane, that's like a different story, but
yeah,
you get the general idea. And I think, yeah,
we make everything like this big, huge deal, but in the grand scope of things, it's not. And my dad always says, he's like, don't worry about it. He says, shit will buff out. And honestly, it always does.
It really will.
Because if you think about it, like everything that has happened, I don't know. It's this thing that's like, you're either going through it, about to like come out of it, or like, you know, mm-hmm, either like struggling, about to like struggle, or just getting out of it, you know?
Right.
And I feel like I don't know, everything is an adventure, just take it as it is, and the rain will pass, and everything I feel like in my life has always worked out, even in the absolute worst times.
But I also think that has to deal with perspective too. If you make a mistake, for example, and then you tell yourself, you acknowledge the fact and then you move on, and you forgive yourself for it,
Yeah, because what more can you do at that point? You already did it. It's already been done. It's not like anything is going to change from that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think confidently making mistakes is great.
Yeah. And also I guess on an ending note, so the title of this episode is obviously The Struggles of Striving to Be Exceptional. And although you should try your best in things that you do, you know, and even if you don't, I don't know. It's kind of what you want out of it. Obviously, you're going to want to try for things that you really want to happen. And, you know, with volleyball, I'm going to try, but I'm not going to, you know, try to be this Olympian volleyball player. But I guess an important takeaway is that you only have to try to be exceptional, because everyone is made differently with their own different strengths and weaknesses. And you don't have to try to be exceptional. Like, you are exceptional. And even though that is cheesy, but it's true, you know?
Yeah. I mean, going back to the volleyball thing that you were saying, if you want to train to be an Olympian volleyball player,
go for it.
Nobody is stopping you. But I think the takeaway from all of this is just understanding that there is a possibility that that will not happen. But I don't think there's any harm in pushing yourself to accomplish that goal if that's truly something that you want to do in life. But I think you just need to, you know, set a boundary for yourself and accept that it could possibly not happen. But this is also another cliche, but it's better for you to have tried than to not have tried at all, in my opinion.
There's so many different ebbs and flows within this topic, because on one end I'm like, yeah, try your best and do all these things, but then I'm like, no, just live your life. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. There's certainly a balance to it. And I feel like it all seems very chaotic and sporadic, all over the place. But really, in reality, I feel like it all interconnects with each other somehow, you know?
Yes. All of this is too big for me to even process.
Yeah. I mean, we could go on and on and on.
Yeah. One thing I am going to try to do, not for the new year, but just immediately, you know, is not taking everything too seriously and try to ground myself to where I can be able to distinguish what I actually need to worry about and what I don't need to worry about, because then I find myself always worrying about everything, about mm-hmm. My career, you know, little things that don't even matter, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I completely agree.
I just worry about everything that doesn't need to be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a super anxious person, so I totally feel you on that. But yeah, I think it's very important to distinguish what's worth worrying about, because some things are totally out of your control. So regardless of how much you worry about it, it still might not work in your favor. The worrying is not some witch spell that will help, you know, make things go in your preferred direction. But
yeah, if it's something that has already happened, sorry, and you have no control over it, do yourself a favor and not worry about it.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying to myself.
Period.
But yeah, this,
I feel like I have to take a deep breath after all of that.
I know, it's just hard because I feel like everybody wants to be amazing at everything, and that's not always the case, which is hard to swallow. But
yeah, but I also feel like if you are the person that is amazing at everything or is amazing at something, that also comes with a whole other set of
No, we're talking basically on our experience with this topic and what we think.
But with all that being said,
Okay, with all that being said, I think that's going to be the end of the episode, but we just wanted to say that we have a bunch of fun things planned out for this new season. If you haven't checked already, Millie and I had posted a gift guide on Instagram, which is really badass, if you will.
It is badass. So if you're struggling with Christmas gifts, or if you're in a hurry because things are going out of stock fast, we have everything linked in our gift guide highlight on our profile. So you can go ahead and just do yourself a favor and look through it.
Yeah.
We have everything from gifts for fashionista, for a student, for a new homeowner, and even for guys as well. So, yeah.
Yes.
Also, we want to thank you guys for helping us finally break 100 followers on Instagram.
I feel like we had it at one point, but we lost it like immediately.
We did, because we took a pretty long hiatus, but we're back. And the fact that we still have people that are interested in listening to our content and following us, it means a lot. So if you guys have any other topic suggestions or special guest star suggestions, if you will, don't be afraid to DM us or comment, perhaps. I don't know. Whatever works.
Whatever you want to do. You can even email us.
Yeah. Be a free spirit. You can email us. You can text us. You can call us. You can at us. Do whatever. Yes. Do whatever you need to do.
Yes. And one more thing. We're trying to get journal prompts going. And so I think I haven't figured out the schedule for that one, but I'm thinking like maybe twice a month, some journal prompts for you guys. So right now we have like the first set. And honestly, I really enjoyed doing them. Did you?
I did. I think journaling is, I mean, I feel like preaching to the choir, like everybody thinks journaling is great, but actually taking time out of your day to sit down and really think about your answers and responses, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, especially because I feel like it's way easier to process when you see everything on paper, because then going back to what I said, it's easier for you to distinguish like what is something you need to worry about or whatever. I don't know. It's like
exactly.
You're processing on paper. You can see it all on paper. And so,
yeah, I mean, I used to journal a lot in high school, but the thing is, I would just go like on and on about what happened that day, how I was feeling, just the overall vibe. And I think having prompts assigned to me is so, so helpful.
Yeah. No, I had a secret composition book of like this one crush that I had.
Oh my gosh. And I feel like that was every like teenage girl.
I'm so embarrassed by that. But yeah, anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to our first episode of season 2. I'm sorry if I sounded weird. My allergies are literally killing me right now. This whole time, I'm just like,
guys, flip. I feel like I'm usually the one who's always having allergies.
I know. But yeah, anyway, I think we'll end with our end of season goodbye kiss.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Ready?
On the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Bye, guys. Also, one more thing before we let you go. We're going to have a new posting schedule. So if you're around for the first season, you knew that we posted every Monday. Every single Monday, we did not miss one. But now, since things are kind of hectic and we're kind of like trying to like find our groove with all the new changes that have happened, we're going to post twice a week, every other Friday.
Twice a month.
Yes. Sorry. We're going to post every single day.
Twice a week.
We're going to post every single day on Friday.
Oh.
I'm kidding. No. I'm sorry. We're going to post twice a month, every other Friday.
Yes.
Yes. So be on the lookout for those. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.